Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout. It's a podcast you can subscribe to on your podcast platform, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music. All of our shows archived on our homepage at checkoutjazz.org, produced at WBGO 88.3 FM. I'm Simon Rentner. Well, we have a different kind of a show for you today. It's another edition of My Music, where artists get to tell their stories from their own words. And today you're going to hear what the pianist Andy Milne has got to say. I usually preview what that will be. All I will say is that you'll want to listen to the end, and it's about the making of Andy Milne's Juno Award-winning album called Seasons of Being, and I am super thrilled to share that with you. That's up next. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rentner.
Pianist composer, and I have been active in the jazz and creative improvised music community in New York for close to three decades. And you're listening to My Music on The Checkout. So, to introduce you to a recording that I made called The Seasons of Being, the project is essentially about music and healing.
We're all made of flesh and bones, hearts and minds. Each of us starts and ends the journey alone, carrying with us the aggregate of our choices.
Yeah, the story begins with my experiencing back pain. You know, at the time, I don't think I even had health insurance. And so I was seeking relief. I had a solo piano concert in Toronto, probably like 2007, I think. My girlfriend at the time had to drive me there because I couldn't drive. And I was like thinking I should just cancel this concert because, you know, you need your whole body to support yourself sitting at a piano. It was a very sharp pain that would come on. Sometimes I would have it where it would last for 20 to 30 seconds, and it would be completely debilitating. But there were other times when the pain was so intense, I couldn't move, and I'd be in bed for a couple of days and just completely immobilized. I'm a person who's, you know, over my life been very physically active. I cycle a lot, I ski, I swim. And so I was quite concerned that I would never be able to do a lot of those things that I enjoy to do physically because my body had just said no. Well, my father's a doctor, and I think I was convinced that Western approaches weren't entirely working when, you know, it's around the time when we recorded this, getting ready to record this music. I had a, you know, shot in my back that was supposed to give me relief. And this is what they say. It's like, oh yeah, you know, this may not last forever, but you could have 6 months of be pain-free for 6 months. And it basically did nothing for me. It was like going to the dentist where they give you a shot before they fill a cavity. And you're like, hold on a second, I can fill the drill. Please give me more. Let's wait for this to seep into my bloodstream. And only this was that much more extreme, where they're like, they're putting this giant needle in your back, pouring some, I don't even want to know what chemical in there, but It did nothing. It did absolutely nothing. While I was pursuing this sort of, Western medicine and getting shots in my back and having CT scans and whatnot, I was also at the same time exploring homeopathy and through this homeopath that I still see to this day, David Kramer. And a few years into the experience, it became clear to me that I had some success with homeopathic healing from the beginning. The homeopathic diagnosis sessions with David Kramer are pretty unusual because he's very 360 degree about your life. He's asking you questions about your relationships with your significant other, with your family, your work and relationships. If I say, I got pissed off, even just using the word pissed off as a figure of speech, he would, dig deeply into that and sort of imply that it's somehow connected to urinary function. There's been a period in my life where I was pissed off at certain people for things that I felt they had done to me. And, ironically, I was having to, I was experiencing things that related to urinary function because it later was revealed to me. The process of going through homeopathic diagnosis for health purposes was the link. It was the connective tissue for which I was going to see a way towards musical exploration. The process was about getting to know yourself, getting to understand yourself, getting to draw causality towards things that you were experiencing with things you didn't realize, were sort of buried, whether they be physical, emotional, spiritual. I mean, it really depends on how far you sort of go. So having that kind of experience, your mind is always thinking about the way things can relate. And so it was just a matter of time, I think, for me that I would think, oh, wait a second. So now I'm writing music for people. People who are as complicated as I am, in terms of their makeup, in terms of their background, in terms of their health and well-being. Each one of those individual people that I write music for is experiencing their own variations and their own versions of these sort of human dilemmas. And wouldn't it be interesting to sort of at least be sensitive to that and consider that? Well, giving them music.
There's truth to the statement, music hath charms to soothe a savage breast. Music not only soothes, it heals. By touching something in our emotional cores, opening neural pathways, changing brain waves, healing. Welcome to the Seasons of Being. An exploration of psychodynamic forces and the power of homeopathy in combination with music tailored to individual pathologies.
So in the process of writing this music, I had to create remedy pitchers, or I had to at least identify remedy pitchers for each musician, the inspiration to sort of personify their musical cure in the writing of the music. I created a survey, using the support of Kramer as the homeopathic consultant, but taking into consideration, okay, every person has their own series of reactions to everything. But my concern was, based upon our reactions to music and sound. So the questions had a lot to do with things that had everything to do with what a homeopath would ask. Do you feel a need to keep busy? Do you constantly need stimulus? Do you lack self-confidence? I mean, most musicians do, actually, but, are you capable of being cruel? I mean, yes or no. It's like, are you hypersensitive to impressions? And we're not talking about, Coltrane, but do you have difficulty making decisions? In addition to asking these questions, I created this listening test and had them write comments about what it made them feel or what their impressions were, whether it resonated, that they hated, that they love it. I played an Eric Dolphy piece from Improvisations in Turkas from an album called Other Aspects. I played a Vince Mendoza piece called Angelicas from his album Start There. I played this Japanese duo, the Yoshida Brothers, piece called Kodo. A piece called Nearsighted, which was a Michael Giacchino score from a Star Trek film. You know, music that they were, in a lot of cases, people in the band were familiar with because they had very specific things to say about what it did for them or what resonated or what they would take them to a place in their history or remind them of their grandmother or an experience in their life, you know. So, you know, and in a lot of ways, I knew because I knew the musician's musical background, I understood, well, I bet they're going to like this or they're not going to like this. Because I understand them, you know, hung out, gone on the road, you're listening to music, you have a general idea of what they listen to and you know how they play. What it was going to reveal was other things about their personality in terms of the way they described something, if they absolutely hated it, the, you know, with the visceral tonality that they might describe that, you know, hate towards that music or the way in which they describe a memory. Ralph Alessi is funny because some of his responses are so in keeping with his musical personality because he loves so much music. I think he had more points of resonance with this list of music than anyone. There was one piece in particular that he felt was like the one most beautiful. There was a piece from Pamathini, Zero Tolerance for Silence. There was things in it that he heard that were just, he said, this is the most beautiful sounds that he had experienced. The complete antithesis to that reaction would have been my wife, Latanya Hall, who's a vocalist in the recording, who I could have predicted that she wouldn't like it, but she really didn't like it, you know? But it's just the way she described it. I don't remember the words she used, but there was something in those words that revealed just a little bit more about her as a person. When I had all my questionnaires and intake information on the musicians that I took to David Kramer to consult on interpreting who these people were, I remember there was a point when he was doing assessing the information that Chris Hoffman, the cellist, gave me, and Kramer proceeded to describe him to me physically, to the degree that I had to go online and grab a photograph of him to show Kramer the photograph of the person that he had just described, because the way he had described Chris was spot on. And it kind of freaked me out because I'm like, how do you know what this person looks like in this way from these little bits of information? It was very affirming for me to sort of have him, you know, just create that complete picture merely from this bit of information that had been shared by the individual. So, I mean, you know, it wasn't a personality trait as much as it was just a physical description. And it was quite, you know, remarkable for me to kind of think, okay, so maybe we're onto something. I'm going to go with this. I'm going to trust this. The test I did for the drummer of the band, Kenny Grahowski, I remember we did it in Union Square Park on a summer afternoon or something. And so we were on a bench and there were people, you could overhear other people's conversations. And I think somewhere in his response, he just started, you know, going off about the person that he could hear in his written response, which had nothing to do with the music, but it said everything about his personality. And so it goes into creating this profile that then when I write the music, I've got this different insight as opposed to just saying, hey, Kenny, why don't you take a drum solo here? So the piece Santanama, which is the piece that features Kenny Grahowski on drums, I mean, his remedy pitcher is Nux Vomica, which will only mean something to people who are into homeopathy, but you can be very irritable. I love him, you know, but I mean, that's just something that, you know, his reactions to things revealed. So understanding that the musical cure for nux vomica would be something that's slowing down and finding appreciation and tranquility and being in the present. I mean, I would have probably never written a piece for him to solo on had I not had this insight. And so that piece is, you know, very slow melody. And in the drum solo that he plays, it's quite atypical from the many other solos that he's taken in my previous recordings. I gave him an environment in which to explore this area that's sort of what I was able to determine is like, this is your musical cure. Come to the light, Kenny. We've been listening to a composition of mine called Santanama from the album The Seasons of Being. It was a piece I wrote to feature the drummer Kenny Grahowski, Andy Millen and Dap Theory. And I am Andy Millen. You're listening to me here on The Checkout. Luminescence, which I wrote that piece in a way, the soloist that's featured in a way is Michael Attias. In the rehearsal leading up to the premiere of the work, He looked at me, Michael said, and said, are these my chords? Like, he was referring to the fact that I had done all this sort of research on everybody. And so I said, yeah, these are your chords. How do you feel? And Michael's a wonderful spirit. He just said, yeah, I feel pretty good. And I thought, well, just the way in which he expressed himself, both on the horn and in interacting about the music, his musical cure would, you know, for being his remedy pitcher is sepia, and his musical cure is to be co-joined. And I think sort of what characterizes that is like a willingness to experiment and yet to be confident and okay with failure. And that's so, you know, in keeping with his personality. And yet I love how I arrived at that sort of description about him through these entirely different means, through someone that has never laid eyes on him. You know, he's a lyrical, free-spirited type, you know, and that's totally him. And it's almost like that piece is a setup. And it's only at the very end of the song. It's only at the very last few moments where he and I play in duo is a setup for this grand release that's then just broken down, and it's just Michael and I. So I suppose the unbelievable yet true irony in this whole journey is such that here I am writing music that's about wellness. It's about, you know, it's inspired by my journey to find some, you know, some relief from symptoms that I'd been experiencing in my health. And by the time I finish the record and it's mixed, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to put this record out, I get an official diagnosis for cancer. So this is like in September of 2017. The Seasons of Being got, you know, got a preliminary nomination for the Grammys, and then a month or so later, it got nominated for a Juno Award. I got nominated for the Juno and on my birthday, and I thought, wow, okay, now what? Because it was very difficult to sort of not say, hey, this music on this recording was created based upon this struggle that I had to overcome. You know, it's changed my life forever. And so I decided I would start talking about it publicly as it related to the music, because it was, they're just too connected for me not to. And it felt very, in a lot of ways, it was very cathartic. I realize a lot of musicians are health. We're not always as mindful as we need to be. We're forgetting that what we put ourselves through physically and, you know, just in terms of the lifestyle that a musician has. Of course, we have this historical legacy of the way musicians have abused their bodies in lots of other ways, which, you know, maybe has serviced their art to some degree, but it's often impacted their longevity. Generally, we seem to be living longer, and I think it behooves us to want to live well if we're going to live longer, because it sucks to think of living a long time in pain. I mean, I certainly had a nice brush with that, living with the back pain that I had that spread to my abdomen and all these other things, which, surprisingly, all went away after I was treated for cancer. So here they are looking for back pain, looking for abdominal pain, looking for all these things. Can't find it. Discover cancer. Treat the cancer. Pain goes away. End of story. Thank you.
All of the music you've been hearing right here on this show is from Andy Milne's Juno Award-winning recording, Seasons of Being, Grammy nominated too. We hope you enjoyed that incredible story. I just want to tip my hat, give a huge shout out, thanks for Andy Milne, just for being so open and willing to share that incredible story. WBGO just made a video with Andy Milne performing at Yamaha Piano Services in New York City, and we will be releasing that soon, so stay tuned. Keep it locked to WBGO.org, and that's where you can find this show, at checkoutjazz.org, where you can subscribe to the podcast, and while you're at it, why don't you give us a review, 4 or 5-star rating? That would be freaking dope. And follow us on social media, at Simon Rettner. That's my personal Twitter handle, at Checkout Jazz. That's Twitter's Checkout handle. We also have a Facebook page. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.